Yeah. I'm dead. Hallelujah. I'm done with it. I'll let you take that one home and sort it out for yourself. But I do have a word that I want to share with you today, with the church. The Lord has really been booing on my heart, talking to me about things in the spiritual realm, explaining things to me, teaching me things. And it's almost scary and shocking how much there is that we don't know about how God works. It's really shocking. And the Lord has spoken to me about some things. And I want to preach this sermon today. And maybe there'll be other sermons like it to follow. I don't know how long it will be. I don't plan on it being a very long message. But I want to talk to you today about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The title of this message is going to be this: You must be born again. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. You must be born again. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Let me tell you something. When God moves and works in your life, friend, it's not by accident or by chance. You better just sit down. That's it. Just go ahead and sit down. Because I don't even know if I'll get through the text before I even start preaching my message here. Friend, if God does something in your life and He calls you to something, it is never by accident. God sent His angel, Gabriel, to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Everybody say Mary.
Amen.
And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Let me tell you something. You feel the Holy Ghost. If you have felt the presence of God in your life, you better know something. God has put His favor on you. God don't like you. God don't love you. God hates you. You ain't going to feel His power. You ain't going to feel nothing. But darkness and condemnation, the flames of hell licking around your soul. But if you have tasted and seen and felt the presence of God, you better know something. God has put His favor on you, and His desire and His love is on you, and He has a plan for your life. But she was greatly troubled. Verse 29. She was greatly troubled. There you go, Sister Lambert. And she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." I cannot even fathom or imagine what Mary must have been thinking at this point in time. And she said this, which, God bless our wives, because they always pick up on that little practical thing, brothers, that we look over. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you must be born again. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The title of my message today is You Must Be Born Again. Amen. The first thing we need to understand about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus was conceived in a young virgin's womb by the Holy Spirit of God. Isaiah prophesied in chapter 7, verse 14, having no real understanding of what he was saying. And it said there, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let me tell you something. God will not do anything spiritual or supernatural in your life without that he doesn't give you a sign that will knock your socks off and let you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is the hand of God. He don't want anybody to get it mixed up or confused. He don't want anybody to be have a misunderstanding or be distracted, because when God does something in your life, he wants you to know and he wants the world to know it was the hand of God.
Yes.
Yeah. And if it didn't happen to you like that, then it wasn't the hand of God. I said if it didn't happen to you like that, it wasn't the hand of God. If it didn't happen to you like that, and there wasn't a sign, it wasn't the hand of God. It said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Hallelujah. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, you must be born again. Hallelujah. Jesus was born of a virgin woman that had never laid in a bed with a man by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my relationship and walk with God begins when the Holy Ghost comes over me and changes me forever. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hallelujah. There's one thing that God wants more than anything else in the world. There's one thing that God wants to do and he wants to experience. There's one thing that motivates God and drives God more than any other single thing, and that is that he wants to be with his people. Hallelujah. He wants to live in our hearts. He wants to sleep even in our beds and lay his head on our pillows with us. He wants to sit at our table and eat with us. He wants wants to travel to work with us and go and be with us wherever we go and whatever we do. God wants to be with His people. God wants to be with you. God wants to be with you. Don't ask me to explain it, because if I was God, I wouldn't want to be with me. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you.
Hallelujah.
Now, this virgin birth in and of itself is unprecedented and unheard of. But it is also the culmination of thousands of years of human yearning. Ever since Adam and Eve birthed their third son, everybody, his name was?
Seth.
Seth. Everybody, Seth. Ever since Adam and Eve birthed their third son, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 4, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. What were they calling for? When God cursed the serpent in the garden, He said prophetically that the seed of the woman will one day bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. And ever since Seth was born, for thousands of years and multiple millions of births, that godly women have been hoping that the baby that I have will be the chosen seed that will bruise the head of that nasty old serpent. Hallelujah. It was more than a virgin birth. It was more than a prophecy from Isaiah. But it was the commandment and the promise of the Almighty God Himself when He cursed the serpent in the garden. Your seed will bruise his head. Genesis 3:15, excuse me. And the serpent will bruise his heel. And ever since that Cain killed his brother Abel and Seth was born, mankind had begun calling on the name of the Lord, searching and hoping for the fulfillment of this prophetic word to defeat Satan and to restore humanity to its original relationship with its Creator. Because they walked with God in the cool of the day. Why? Because God wanted to be with them. And when they knew, when that promise was fulfilled, that Satan's reign would come to an end and that the relationship that was lost would be restored. Let me tell you something, church. Amen. God's desire is to bring you into a relationship, a spiritual relationship. Amen. Where you walk with Him and He walks with you and He talks with you and you talk with Him, and day in and day out you are walking in the presence of the living God who wants to be. Hallelujah. And Mary was going to be that woman. And Jesus was going to be that holy child. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just say here that when the time came for God to fulfill His own prophecy, He did not leave it up to some random series of events. Amen. But it was His own personal word and reputation that was on the line. And so when God got ready to fulfill His, let me tell you something. It's one thing for the prophet Isaiah to say there's going to be a virgin conceive. It's one thing for Brother Rob to say you're going to have a miracle, you're going to have a revival. It's one thing for your friend or your brother or sister to tell you everything's going to work out and be alright. But the Bible said in Genesis 3:15 that it was God that said it. He made the promise Himself. And there's only one way for God to fulfill His promise. It's the same way you fulfill your promises. The only way you can fulfill your promise is you got to go do it. The only way to fulfill your promise to clean your room, Logan, is you got to go clean that room. Otherwise, if you try to pay your brothers to do it, it's not going to be the same, because you didn't fulfill your promise. Only way to keep your word, Brother Gilbert, to give your wife a foot massage is you got to do it yourself. You can't give her a gift certificate to the local masseuse. You got to fulfill your word. If you promise to do it, then you got to roll up your sleeves and do what you promised to do. And when God makes a promise, church, I know you ain't getting what I'm saying today. The word is not penetrating into your thick skull right now, but it will in just a minute, because I'm going to shove the key down deep into your soul and turn it. When God made a promise, only He can fulfill it. And when God overshadowed Mary, it was God coming down and fulfilling His own promise that He made. He didn't leave it up to somebody else to mess it up. He didn't leave it up to somebody else and Him sit up there with His feet kicked up in a hammock, drinking iced tea and eating grapes and letting the angels wave palm fronds over to Him. Hallelujah. The Bible says, amen, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. There are some things that nobody can do for you. There are some things that you cannot do for yourself. There are some things that God has to do in your life. And one of those things, of the most important, the most crucial link in the chain, the most crucial turning point and crossroads in your life, is when God comes a knocking on your heart's door and He says, if you'll let me come in, I will birth you again. I will overshadow you with the Holy Ghost, and you will become new. And I will fulfill my promise directly from the throne of God in heaven into your human soul. You must be born again. And so this is getting ready to happen. This is really happening. This is really happening. After thousands of years, this is really happening. This is really, can you believe it? It's hard to imagine it. Can you wrap your mind around it? But it's really happening. God's getting ready to do it. And yet at the same time, the whole plan rested on a young woman named Mary, because she had to be willing to allow God to use her. Not abuse her. Not anything like that, but she had to be a willing vessel. Mary, you're going to be abused, all right. You're going to be said to have an illegitimate child. Mary, you'll have to carry this baby for 9 months. All y'all ladies that have carried your baby, say hallelujah. Come on now. It's not going to be any easy road carrying that baby for 9 months and living with the spot on your name, that we don't know where this baby came from, but here she is pregnant now. What are we going to do with her? She had to be willing to birth that child into the world with screams and shrieks of pain and all that goes along with the birthing process. And she had to be willing to spend the next several decades devoting herself to the raising of this holy child. Hallelujah. Making your decision to allow God to use you as a vessel is no joke. Opening your heart to God and allowing His Holy Spirit to come in is no joke. And that's why a lot of people shut the door. Hallelujah. Well, it won't be too bad. You get to go to heaven, but you may have to suffer. What do you say? Well, hallelujah. It won't be too bad. You'll be with me eternally, but there may be some trial. What did you say? Hallelujah. Well, there may be some weird signs of it. What? Did you say weird? Well, people may look at you funny and treat you different. What? Well, you may be get talked down to, and people's going to abuse you and verbally abuse you and do all this. You may be persecuted, you may be martyred and killed. What? Hallelujah. A lot of people close the door. right in Jesus' face, when God is about to do something miraculous in their lives. Why do we do that? But I like what Mary said. She received this prophet from God with wholehearted acquiescence. Her response at the epic level: behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. I think we lost, amen, our love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've begun to preach another Jesus, and we've begun to pretty it up and frilly it up. At the end of the day, friend, if you're going to live for God and be born again, you're going to have to admit, I am a servant of the Most High God. It's not about me and my life and mine, and yours is mine, and what can God do for me? You're going to have a heart that says, be it unto me, I am the servant of the Lord. I like what she said, behold, and that means, look here, look here, look at me, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you say. Oh, church, hallelujah, my man, just open up a door for you right now. If you had a heart and a mind that could get a hold of what Mary said when the angel spoke to her, I am the servant of the Lord. Look here, God, you can use me however that you want to.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
You can use me however that you want to. And Joseph had to be willing as well. Would he still want to stay with this tainted woman? But who has she been with? How could she be a pregnant virgin? But God visited him in his dreams several times, giving him divine guidance. And he rose to the challenge, and he helped Mary and Jesus through the tumultuous years. And he was even there to help deliver this baby in a stable full of animals. And their travels being triggered by the Roman census. And it would bring them back to their hometown in Bethlehem. And this in turn would trigger another prophecy made by Micah in chapter 5, verse 2 of his book. But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know. I ain't nobody. I come from a blended family. I come from a messed up family. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've had a lot of problems. I've had a lot of troubles. There's nothing special about me. Amen. But when God prophesied of where his ruler and his power would reside, he called on the smallest of the family members in the tribe of Judah that were so small, the Bible says they were not even reckoned as a family. But God chose a family that wasn't a family, amen, to be born again. And the power of God and the mighty Savior was born in a stable in Bethlehem. This birth was christened by unusual signs. Mary and Joseph were followed by a star. And this triggered wise men from faraway lands to travel into Judea in search of the Messiah. Angels burst forth in the atmosphere surrounding Bethlehem to announce the birth of the Savior. And all of these things christened, amen, excuse the play on words, all of these things christened the birth of the Savior Jesus. And then as he was born into the world, things began to shift and to change. And the adversaries of truth and the adversaries of God and Satan himself rose up and begin to turn. Let me tell you something. When you're born again of the water and the Spirit, it is not going to be all happy, happy, joy, joy. The devil's going to come at you hard. He's going to come at you hard. But if you'll maintain, I am a servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. If you'll maintain your place and your position, and you'll carry that Holy Spirit inside of you wherever that you go, God will clear the way. God will protect your way. God will divinely guide your steps. Hallelujah, because He has no intention, amen, of triggering a fulfillment of His promises, only to let them fall short of the goal, only to have them crushed, amen, like a little child can be crushed in the hands of a grown man before it even has time to become what it was called to do. God is going to be on your side. God is going to have your back. Come in. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come in. And let me be born again of the water and the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Hallelujah. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
You must be born. Let's all stand together today. And you know what Jesus did? When He was born again, He was carried off into Egypt for a time, and He was carried finally back to the city of Nazareth, where the Holy Ghost first begun the work. And there Jesus grew up to become a man. He had to learn how to do what he was told. He had to learn how to wash his own clothes. He had to learn a trade, how to build things. And he spent 30 years growing up. A lot of people think, well, I'm born again, now look at me. Woo-hoo! Now that you've been born again, finally, now it's time for you to submit to the process of preparation. It's a long process, isn't it, church? Can you imagine knowing that you are the Son of God, but yet having to wait 30 years to fulfill your call? I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is His story. And this is the power that releases salvation in our lives. Jesus is calling us to be born again. He wants to conceive something inside of us by the power of God's Holy Spirit. But we have to be willing to allow God to make His home in our hearts. We have to be willing to cooperate with God in allowing Him to create in us a new person. We have to be willing, no matter how inconvenient it may be, no matter what abuse we may have to endure, no matter where our travels and troubles take us, we have to be willing to serve God and to become a part of His prophecy and His plan. No matter the pain, no matter the sacrifices that must be made, no matter the time and the resources involved, no matter the seismic shift in our lives and priorities, no matter the jealousy and violence that will be unleashed against us, no matter the strange and unusual signs, no matter the intervening years of learning and growing that will be involved, you must be born again. Do you want to be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit today?
Amen.
Do you want to be a part of God's holy plan today? Do you want to leave your life of insignificance behind and step into the light of God's kingdom? Today is the day. And I'll rejoice and be glad with all of that I am. Praise the Lord. Well, I see that the doors are closed a little bit. Y'all back to peeking out the peepholes again. Tired, hot, weary, and worn. Jesus came into the world to save people from their sins. Before we leave today, let us reconnect with His story. Before we leave today, let us grab a hold of something right now. Let's pray together. Everyone in the building, talk to God.